my mentality of always trying to be better and always trying to, you know, to do my best and be better than I was 1 month ago. This makes me improve a lot.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by GorNation. My name is Phil, and today we have a special guest, someone who I really, really respect, somebody from Spain. So, John Bioko was also from Spain. You're the second Spanish guy in the show, and I'm really happy to have you here. Pere Col Fernandez, if I pronounce it somewhere right. Somebody who I respect a lot, as I said, like with crazy, crazy PRs, like just to mention some, I looked up your Instagram, what happened in your last time. You just broke your personal record of 4 times 40 kilogram straight bar muscle ups.
Yep.
This is a quite big one. Maybe some of you saw the 60 kilo ring muscle up. So this is also a really big one. And I think it's now... No, it's 1 year ago, like 110 kg pull-up.
Yes.
Also a big one. So these are just three to mention. You can tell yours afterwards. So I'm happy to have you here. Welcome to the show, Pere.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Nice to have you here. And for the people who don't know you or who want to get to know you better, how do you present yourself to somebody who doesn't know you?
All right. So, yeah, as you said, my name is Pere Col. I'm from Spain, from Catalonia, near Barcelona, and I'm 21 years old. I studied aerospace engineering in the university. I've just recently finished. And yeah, my hobbies, and as you might see, it's calisthenics, especially weighted calisthenics now. And yep, I love doing sport. I love working, doing projects, etc.
21 years. I didn't know that you are that young. You know, you're such a smart guy, like studying, and I also was fascinated by the machine that you built yourself for the muscle up technique work. So like a really, really smart guy. And you seem so like experienced, but 21 years old. So chapeau, respect for that. That's good.
Thank you, Phil.
Nice. And let's jump into your story. How did you get in touch with calisthenics?
Well, I first heard about calisthenics when I was 15. I was doing the third course of the secondary education here, and I just changed school, and I met new friends. And one of the friends once showed me a video in the break during the lessons. The video was from the Bar Brothers. You may all know them. Bar Brothers were really popular and still are. It was a video of them just doing some pull-ups, some air walking and all this stuff. And I was like, it was awesome. I remember. And I said, wow, that's incredible. I also want to do that. And, you know, it was a time that I did not have much friends, just a few. And, you know, I needed just something to give me more strength to believe in myself and more to do something else. And I just went to the park. We had a couple of rusty bars in our town. And I went there with my friend. I just tried to do some pull-ups. I remember I did 12 pull-ups my first day. During that time, I had been a swimmer for 6 or 7 years, more or less 7 years. So yeah, I had like strong back, strong pulling force of the swimming. So yeah, that's why. And once I started watching videos from the Bar Brothers, you know, I just started training. Also, I watched videos from Frank Medrano, who also was amazing. So yeah, with those two references, I started working out. And at the time, I did not know anyone else who was doing calisthenics around my town yet. I will meet them afterwards. So yeah, that was the beginning of my story.
Wow. And what year was it? Do you still remember?
If it were 6-7 years ago, 2014 maybe.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Yes. And 12 pull-ups in your first workout. That's something.
I can't remember the form. I don't know if I would be valid, but yeah, 12. I remember the number.
Crazy. And today you're doing like crazy street lifting, weighted calisthenics, but also, yeah, like your front lever is super, super strong. I think I know a few people who have such a strong front lever, and like the one arm front lever pull up that you showed once, like this is something so fascinating for me. And you have an intense, intense pull power. Like, what was the journey? How did it continue to grow?
All right, just let's continue the story that. From there, I just went training, like, I was doing swimming. I also went to the bars before swimming. And, you know, I was going to the bars, like, I would say, like, every day, no days off, every day. I had zero knowledge of training, obviously, and zero knowledge of anything. I just went there, did some pull-ups, just tested some full lever, tested some muscle up, but, you know, just, like, trying. And I remember like 2 weeks after that or 3 weeks, I accomplished my first muscle up. I just went up the bar, obviously super chicken, super everything, but you know, I managed to like go up to the bar. I have the video, from that. And then some months after that, I met some people from a town next to my town who also did calisthenics. More like freestyle. So yeah, we shared some knowledge. They started teaching me how to do the handstand, the banana handstand. Yeah, so that was like quite a good step forward. And more people started joining me from my town. So the group started growing. We were like six people going to the bars every day, just the motivation, the music and all this stuff. And then on February 2015, I remember the date, we had been fighting a lot with our town to build new bars, a new park, and they accepted it. So we built a new park of bars, and we could like do more skills and better workouts there. And then I went to the first competition. The first day we went just to see. The first year, yeah, we just went there to see how was it. And we went with the people also from the other town. And, well, they did freestyle and tension. You needed to hold, like, front lever, planche, and... No, front lever, back lever, and even flag, not even planche. So, yeah. And the next year, I joined that competition. And, yeah, where I trained, I was just doing muscle-ups, pull-ups, and full lever. It was the only thing I did. That's why I have that good full lever now, probably. So yeah. And then in the winters, I went to the gym from the town because it was cold. I mean, not really cold, but it was cold. And in the summers, we used to go to the bars. And 2 years later, I just left swimming because I was not good at all. And it was boring going up and down to the pool for me. And I just dedicated to calisthenics. And yeah, but I was just training for statics and for pure basics. And yep, that was... apart.
Nice. So like in the summer you only did pull workout, so like pull-ups, muscle-ups and front lever, and in the winter you trained push in the gym.
No, I was always training pull, always training pull.
Okay.
The push, you know, I tried in my entire life, I haven't done many push-ups. I don't like doing push-ups. I'm very bad at doing push-ups actually. I mean, I don't know. And about the planche, I've tried lots of tucks, and with the band and all this stuff, but I've always had lots of struggling to do the planche. I'm not good at pushing exercises, I guess. But also I haven't practiced much the push-ups. But when I learned the handstand, which was something it took me like six months more or less to learn the handstand from zero to more or less holding three seconds. I'm very bad at skills, as you can see. I was just practicing the handstand against the wall, and then someone would help me just grabbing my feet so I could find the balance. And once I had a good balance, I rapidly learned how to do the handstand push-ups. Basically, you know, if you have a good balance and more or less strength, you should be able to do a handstand push-up. So yeah, and after all that training in my town, I moved to Barcelona, where I started university. So that's why I moved there. And I started going to the park there in Barcelona. And again, training the same as always. My front lever was 30 plus seconds easily. I had one arm front lever. I could hold planche, just a style planche. I've never been able to hold a full planche for more than 3 seconds. So I wouldn't give that as a complete skill, sadly. And really good handstand. I've also enjoyed doing the handstand, and I think it's a super important element to learn the handstand. It's super basic. So yeah, and lots of muscle ups, but not weighted at all. And at those times, I used to compete in the competitions in the tension category. So you had to hold front lever, human flag, and planche. They introduced the straddle planche. And also I started competing in the weighted categories, where you had to do the pull-ups with 32 kilograms and the dips with 48 kilograms. So yeah, that's part of my journey.
So like you're doing weighted since how many years?
Like only training weighted or like specifically weighted for 2 years now, maybe a little more.
What?
But before that, it was just pure calisthenics, no weight at all, just in the park. So I can say I have a really good base of doing lots of basics in the park, which is something really important.
So you were really, really strong in endurance as well? So like doing a lot of reps or?
I've never liked doing lots of repetitions, okay. And I've never been good at endurance. Even when I was a swimmer, I never did more than 200 meters, which are eight pulls, actually, eight lengths. So yeah, I'm not good at endurance at all. So I've been always more explosive person rather than endurance person.
Okay, get it. And what were your goals when you started with calisthenics? What was it? To look good? Was it to do a muscle up? What was it?
The first goals when I started were to learn the skills and to learn new things. And also I started loving the fact that people get inspired by me from doing calisthenics. So I went to the park and people would pass by and like ask me, what are you doing? What are you training? I want to join you. And just so they could join me and we could train together. So all that inspiration and motivation from other people, I really love that. So I would say like it was a mix of learning the skills, but also like getting more people involved to practice calisthenics. And, you know, it was like motivation for me. And about the statics, I can't really tell you if it was not certainly a main reason. I was already pretty good looking when I was younger. But yeah, I mean, obviously who doesn't like looking at the mirror and saying, whoa, I'm really strong. I mean, that's something common, but it was not one of the main reasons.
Okay. Get it. And like when you look back now on your career until now, what was the moment, like the moment that you always remember, like the best moment in your career?
The best moment in my career? Wow. Right now, I think the competition I went in Vienna, who was organized by Nick Thibault. It has been the best competition I've ever been. It was amazing. The people, everything was absolutely spectacular. Even I did not win there. It was an amazing competition. I really enjoyed the stay there, and you know, I love that. That would be the most memorable day of my career. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, because we also met in person, right? That's
yes,
the main reason.
I also met you, which was a part of the... Exactly.
Nice. And like when I ask you now, what do you think is the main reason why you have these performances and success in the sport? Is it that you train differently than other people? Is it your genetics? Is it like your smart training plans, etc.? What is your secret?
First of all, I'm going to say genetics is a good part. It's something important for me because I've always been very good at like explosive movements, not at endurance, as I said before. So that's something to take into account in calisthenics. There's people who's more like endurance type, like the guys who run marathons, and people who's more like power type, and I'm one of the power ones. But also, I would say my mind, my way of thinking. At the beginning, obviously not my plans, because I just went there and did what I thought I would, you know, I was just random doing
all
things.
Day, every day.
Yeah, every day. but my mind of going there every day and going training as hard as I could, you know, that might be really good at improving. And also my mentality of always trying to be better and always trying to, you know, to do my best and be better than I was 1 month ago. This makes me improve a lot. Sometimes it's like, it's not good to think like that, because if you don't reach your expectations, you're like depressed, and it's, yeah, it's kind of sucks. But I try to take the positive side of this and always try to improve and be better.
Okay. So it's a mixture between mindset and physical.
Yep. Benefits. I would probably say.
Okay. Yep. Get it. Take us in your day. How does a day look like in the life of Per?
I'm going to explain. I think I'm going to explain one day before the lockdown, where we were, everything was normal. Yeah. So I would like woke up pretty early to go to university around 6:30 or 7. I would go to university the whole morning, if I'm lucky, because maybe some days I have morning and afternoon. So let's just leave it at morning. And then I would arrive home at about 3 p.m. more or less. I would have lunch. And then in the afternoon, I usually like do the homework. If I have, I don't usually have homework. I would just like go shopping, I don't know, chill in my sofa until 6 p.m., 7 p.m. where I went to work out. And then, yeah, I would work out for 2.5 hours, maybe 3, depending on the day. I rest a lot between sets, so don't, yeah. And then afterwards, I would just like, yeah, have dinner, chill a bit more, and go to bed. Yep.
And how many hours do you sleep?
I usually sleep like 7 hours plus, depending on the, obviously, in the period of my life. When I went to the university, I used to sleep. Yeah, there were weeks where I could like sleep 5 hours every day only. But if I have the time, obviously I try to sleep 7-8 hours at least.
Yes. How do you feel it in your workout when you only sleep 5 hours? Do you still make progress, or is it stagnating, or is it even getting worse?
If it's just one day, I don't feel anything. If you're motivated that day, it's going to be a perfect day or even better than the others. But if it's been like a week sleeping 5 hours, you feel that. You feel that you don't have the power you should have. Yep.
Okay. And do you have some habits throughout the day that like you always do?
I always make my bed. No. Habits. I don't know. I always like training habits. I always warm up very, very well. And I take the warm up very seriously, like 13 minutes at least. 30 minutes, sorry.
Wow.
At least. So yeah, that's something I do every day. And if I don't work out, I usually do some stretching and mobility at home, you know, with a foam roller and all this. Because in periods of very high and intense training, if I don't do those like days of you know, of stretching and mobility, I'm out. I mean, I cannot end the program.
Okay. And is it more upper body stretching? I guess so, right?
Actually, I'm working a lot in lower body mobility. I like working on lower body mobility, but yeah, I also, on the upper body, it's more like massaging, and in the lower body, it's more like mobility, but I also work a lot my shoulder mobility for the handstands and all this, which is really important. So yeah, more or less even.
Okay. Nice. What is something that you think if every calisthenics athlete would do it, it would improve a lot their results? Like, is there some habits, like some food, some habits, something that would impact the life of a calisthenics athlete and the results?
I would say to be careful with the technique and try to seek a good technique on all the exercises. Because then this makes you improve in the long term, and I think that's something really valuable for the athletes to take into account in their trainings. That would be the most valuable thing. Yep.
Okay. And what does your training schedule look like in the week?
In the past, every day. No, now, for 2 years, it has been like 5 days a week. And yeah, I used to train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday and Saturday. So I would rest on Thursday and Sunday. And yeah, and the splits, it depends on the periods. Right now, with the corona, I'm doing pull, legs, push, split. But yeah, I used to do the push and the legs in the same day. But yeah, I usually combine like this. And one of the 5 days, I usually take more like a technique day or an easier day in order to do some mobility and some more technique and, you know, not that hard as the other days.
Okay. So you really focus on pull when you put push and leg, or put like in the past put push and legs together in one day.
Yeah, because I realized that if I did squats and pull-ups in the same day, it was too hard, and I wouldn't do good in one of those, you know. So, yeah. But if I did it with the dips, it was not the difference was not that big.
Okay. Do you think that everybody is capable of like doing a 100 kg pull-up if they train right?
No, I don't think that everyone is capable of doing this. That's the same as saying that everyone is capable of doing, you know, that weightlifting, Chinese weightlifting guys. I mean, not everybody is capable of doing this, of course, because not everyone has the same genetics and the same sizes of the bones and everything. So, I mean, many people is going to be able to do it, but not all the people of the world should be able to do it, of course. But yeah, that would be my answer.
Okay. Nice. What does your nutrition look like?
Many people ask me that. On Instagram, on YouTube, I have lots of comments saying, oh, record yourself in a normal day, your eating habits. I haven't done that yet. depending on the period, right now, I don't count anything, or I just eat all food, good food. Obviously, I don't usually take junk food. But when, you know, I'm more focused on competitions or I'm more in trainings, I usually like measure the macros, the carbohydrates, the fats, and the proteins. So, and I try to keep track of what I'm eating every day in order to more or less fit the macros, you know, to gain weight or to lose weight, depending on the period I'm in. So yeah, and more specifically, if I have a competition where there are some weight classes, I try to you know to have a good weight. Yeah.
What is your height and weight right now?
My height, it's 1 meter 80 centimeters, and my weight 85 kilos more or less. So yeah, I reached my maximum ever was 88 kilograms.
Nice.
I'm going to explain you later why I weighed that much. And yeah, but I'm moving around 85. Last year I weighed 80 kilos, so I've improved a lot. This winter was really hard training. And I grew. I grew, sorry, I grew. And yeah, that's it, 85.
Nice. Okay. What are your goals for this year? Like, I know it's a special situation right now, but you still need to work hard for your PRs. So, like, what are your goals?
Hopefully in December, there's a competition in here in Spain, in Sevilla, the Arnold Classic Europe. So if there's a competition, I will surely go, of course. And I'm planning on December to do some PRs. So if there's competition, we'll be in the competition. If there's no competition, we'll be in my garden. But my goals, I would like to at least the pull-up, I'd like to repeat the 110 kilos or even more. I'm not really like focused on doing 120 like a mad lad. I'm just trying to, I'm working like lower weight a lot, trying to improve my technique. And yeah, repeating 110 kilograms pull up would be a good achievement for me this year. I would like to, also taking into account that I weighed like 7 kilos more than when I did that record. So yeah, 7 kilos, you feel that when you're doing pull ups.
Yeah.
And that talking about pull-ups, about the muscle ups, I'm feeling really strong in the muscle ups recently, probably because I've lowered my body weight a little bit, that's why. But yeah, I'm lifting 45 kilos in trainings, which I had never done before. And yeah, having the 50 kilograms muscle up but clean, the competition form would be awesome, would be really awesome. And about the dips, right now I'm not doing much dips because at home I don't have dip station. I have like something to the dips, but you know, I cannot put more than 90 kilos or 100 kilos there, so it's pretty far from my maximum. So I'm just doing maintenance, so I don't know what's going to happen with dips. If I can train them in the future before the competition, maybe I can, I don't know, repeat 140 or maybe try 150 kilograms would be good, but I don't know. I don't have expectations for the dips. And for the squats, I've been improving a lot this winter, working really, really hard the squats. It was my super weak point. And I don't know. I don't have more than 150 kilos at home, so I cannot test my maximum neither. So I can just more or less say, I don't know, doing 185 on 190 kilos this year would be a really good result, considering the previous year result of 120 kilos in the competition.
Wow.
So yeah, little by little.
That's insane. Like, honestly, like the dips, that's already crazy for me because you don't have like 100% focus on it. And like 140 is like a crazy, crazy number. And also squats like 190, 185, it's insane, like seeing the fact that you don't train it like a lot, like a lot is the wrong word, but that you have like much more focus on pull.
Yeah. Actually, in the winter, I took really, really serious the squats training, but really serious. After the Arnold Classic of last year, which was in September, I started with the squats really, really hard. I just realized the importance of doing squats. And yeah, since then, it's been really fast and good in improving. I've never had any kind of injury, not even any pain or anything in my legs. Maybe the mobility helps. The mobility training might help. And so yeah, I mean, I'm constantly improving. So yeah, we'll see how it goes this year.
Nice. Nice. Do you want to tell us why you weighed like 88 kilos?
Yeah. 88 kilograms. It was in the winter. I was training really, really hard and my weight was increasing because I was eating like a lot, like 3,500 kilocalories each day. So for me, it's more than I should take. Also, I was really careful with the protein intake, daily intake, rounding the 200, 240 grams of protein every day. And also, it has to see with the supplementation because I tested for 3 weeks. I tested creatine for 3 weeks because a brand just sent it to me and I said, okay, let's just test how this goes. And I started taking it for 3 weeks exactly. And my, as you know, the creatine makes you retain more liquids. So I just gained 2 kilograms in 1 week. and my muscle up went down. My pull up went down, and it was like, oh. And, you know, I wasn't feeling much change of taking protein after the 3 weeks. So I decided to stop taking it because it made me be heavier. So I would, I would perform a poorer in the muscle up and pull up. So I stopped taking it, and now I'm much better. So yeah, that's why I increased the weight and why I decided to reduce it. I could have followed maybe, but you know, as I was not perceiving any improvements, I just stopped, and nothing changed. That's why the reason I gained weight.
But that's interesting, because I know a lot of one rep max athletes who do take creatine, because it boosts the power. Like for example, Frederick, he also takes creatine. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very good supplement. I mean, it's awesome, but I don't know. I just did not feel anything, and even when I stopped taking it, I did not feel anything. So I don't know. No idea.
If you don't need it, that's good. Like every supplement that you don't feel any effect, you can spare some money. You can if your body, if it functions well without, it's good. It's not a bad thing.
I just don't feel it necessary. Probably I should take it. Probably a nutritionist or an expert is listening to that, saying, "Oh my God, what is he saying?" But I don't know. I don't really like supplementation, and if I can avoid it, I just avoid it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Yes. So something that I wanted to ask you that I think people are interested in: what are you studying? Why are you such a smart guy? Tell us about what you do and what your goals are.
I'm not such a smart guy. So yeah, I did a scientific. I don't know how to say that. Here it's like the high school. It was in the scientific branch. And then I decided to study the aerospace engineering, all about, you know, airplanes and rockets and satellites and all this stuff. Basically because I liked the subjects and I liked the job opportunity afterwards, which now it's not very good. But I just liked it. And I started that degree, and I felt really, really good. And I've really, really enjoyed that degree. I would not change it for anyone. For any other degree, sorry. So yeah, I studied that, and I've always felt very passionate about coding and programming. And maybe, as you may know, I have I coded my own website to post some of calisthenics information and all this stuff. So yeah, I started learning to code to do my own stuff and my own projects. So yeah, that's what I have studied.
But the coding and programming, you teach it yourself with the internet, or how did you learn it?
Yes, most of the parts. I learned a bit at university. There they taught me the basics. And afterwards at home, with YouTube, you can learn whatever you want. So.
Okay.
Yep.
And your website, let's talk about it. What do people find on your website? Because I think it has a lot of valuable information. So maybe you want to share it to the people who don't know it.
Yeah, the purpose of my website was, the first purpose was to just share information about calisthenics, because I receive lots of questions on my Instagram account. And I always try to answer them all. So, yep. I'm too good. I shouldn't be, maybe. But yeah, it takes a lot of time to answer the questions. So I decided to build a website with that information from the questions. So when someone asks me something, I just link them to the website so they can just read all the information there with pictures, videos, everything. And yeah, I started this project with some friends who also posted some posts and everything. Not posting many things now. I have lots of work, and everything was posted in English, but also in Spanish, because I have lots of Spanish public. So many of them don't speak English. So I had to do both. It was like really time consuming. I'm posting something very rarely now. And yeah, just like a dictionary for the exercises, some posts and this.
Nice. So we will link it also in the description for the people who are interested in reading that knowledge. And yeah, maybe if there are hundreds and thousands of visitors, you will get back to posting.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because I think it's really important to have people like you to do the work, to put knowledge out there, information about the sport, because otherwise it doesn't grow, you know. Like, there are so many questions about this sport. Like, every day we also receive questions, like basic questions, really, like, how do I learn a pull-up, a muscle-up, whatever. And like, people are asking these questions, and so it's really important that there is enough information. So I really like that you took the effort.
Yeah, but here we need, there's a topic to talk about, which is that the difference between, for example, in my website, I usually post things based on my experience, mm-hmm. and my reading, which obviously I'm not here. At least here in Spain, there's a degree called a sports science, and I don't know if it exists in Germany or not. Yeah. Does it exist? Yep. Right. So here you have sports science, and obviously I cannot say things which involve the sports science part without any, you know, any degree in that. So I just post things based on my experience. And here in Spain, there's like a fight from those who study sports science with those like influencers. Not the calisthenics ones, obviously, but the many influencers who are just like posting things like, do those exercises for your abs to burn the fat in 5 minutes. So there's a fight between those and the others, and I'm really aware of that fight. So I just try to post things always saying which is based on my experience, based on my reading. You know, I don't have any certificate saying that I'm a professional trainer or anything. So yeah, that's something. And people who's learning and trying to learn new things need to evaluate if they prefer someone who has the knowledge from the university or someone who has experience from training calisthenics.
That's true. So, yeah. It's important to say, but still, yep. I think it's really important to also have like both sides and yep. To make it accessible for people. Nice. Yeah, we're coming to an end of the episode. I still have some quick questions, quick answers, hopefully. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
I don't know, that depends on the day, but I would take both. I love pizza. I would take pizza.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Do you prefer dogs or cats?
I have a cat. So, but I think I prefer dogs because my cat, you know, she's really arrogant. She never talks to me. She always, you know, is doing her thing. So yeah, I think I would prefer a dog in the future.
Okay, poor cat. Okay, what was your best location ever for a holiday?
Iceland.
Iceland.
Yeah, I went to Iceland 3 years ago, I think. And I really enjoyed there. Yep, I will go back definitely.
Why?
I don't know, the people, the weather, the places, it was really, really nice. Yep.
Like the weather, like when you say Iceland, I don't know if I'm wrong, but
yeah, it was super cold, but I like that. You know, being at home in the afternoon and like minus 20 degrees Celsius outside, it's like, I don't know, I felt really comfortable.
Okay, nice.
maybe I go back and I say, whoa, I'm never going there again, I want to stay home. But obviously, when you leave home, you miss home, and I'm really good in Spain, you have really good weather, really good food, and but yeah, the vacations there, I enjoyed a lot.
Nice. So there's a Spanish guy sitting with 40 degrees outside and wishing that he would be in Iceland now.
Right now, yeah.
Nice. What would change for you if social media just disappeared?
Not much. As you can see, my Instagram is not very active. I post some stories when I train, but just because I'm recording myself for the technique, and I just say, oh, that was a good one, I just post it. Or, oh, that was a really bad one, I just post it and explain why it was a bad one. But yeah, I don't know. I don't post much on YouTube. It was like, it has been like 2 months without any videos. On Instagram, I post once every 2 months also. Yeah, it would not change much actually. Okay. I'm really solitary person.
Okay. Nice. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete, or let's say top three calisthenics athletes?
I don't know. I mean, people ask me that, like, who do you admire or who is your inspiration? And I don't know. I don't know who's my inspiration. I'm not like following anyone like, wow, what is he doing? I follow people who train. I really like how they train. And even maybe they are like 50 kilos under my maximum repetition, but I admire them for what they are doing and how they are training. So that would be like people I like watching. And also there's people who maybe can do more than me, but with really bad technique. And I watch the video and I'm like, okay, I don't care. Like, I admire people who's doing less, but with, you know, better training and proper planification. So yeah, I don't know. I admire a lot Frederik Imelsen. Wow. So he hears that. Yeah, I admire him a lot. Yeah. Yeah. When I met him, he was a really good guy. Yep. Also, his 45 kilograms muscle up. It was amazing. So yeah, that's one of them that I admire a lot. I like Frederik a lot. Yep.
Nice. I'll tell him.
Other people from Spain who's also good, who training, and I follow them and I talk to them. I answer their stories. So. Yeah, it's people I also admire a lot.
Nice. Great. I'm going to tell Frederik this on Monday. He will be
happy. Yeah, tell him. He will be happy.
Nice. Do you have a favorite book?
I don't read much. When I read, it's because there's information that I can learn. So I don't read a book like an action book or a story book where I just read and it's like, oh, it's fun. I read to get knowledge. Sorry for the readers. I just don't like it. I read a lot on the internet, like, you know, scientific reports and everything. But one book I read recently and about training, which was the I don't know if it's in English. I'm going to translate the strength training pyramid. Do you know which book is it?
No.
It's like it talks about the basis of strength training and hypertrophy. So it goes from a basic level to a more specific level. And it talks about like the basis of everything. And it's like a 300 pages book. And, you know, it was really interesting. I learned some things I did not know about the strength training and things that I'm going to apply in my trainings in the future. So, yeah, that was a really good book, actually.
Nice. We will also link it in the description. I'm going to ask you afterwards for the link,
yeah,
so people
sure.
can look it up. Yeah, you already answered the question, but the best calisthenics event you've ever been at so far?
Yeah, I've been.
Bar Heroes event in Vienna.
Yep.
Nice. That's good to hear. And yeah, like last question from the quick questions, quick answers question. If you have to choose between calisthenics, so only body weight or weighted, what would you choose?
Now weighted. If you had asked me that 2 years ago, I would say calisthenics, but now it's weighted calisthenics. I can do full lever with weights, which actually fits in that, so.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Yeah, but weighted calisthenics, yeah.
Okay, nice. Great. So yeah, thanks already for your time. But when people want to get in touch with you, where can they reach you best? Where can they ask you your questions, know about you, like read about you?
Yeah, as I said before, in Instagram, I would say like, not always, because there are a lot of dumb questions, but I usually answer the question if it's interesting and it's a good question. So yeah, on Instagram or maybe in my webpage, in the contact form of my webpage. So yeah, there you can find me.
Awesome. We will link everything in the description. So if you want to reach Pere, yes. So we are coming to an end. Before you can end the episode, I want to say thank you for your time, for taking this interview. I know that you're a busy man, and I know it's hot, so you could be outdoor smashing some.
We're in holidays, Phil. No worries, it was a pleasure.
Nice. So yeah, and also thanks a lot for everyone listening to this, because it's a long interview again, and I'm really happy for everyone listening to this till the end. And yeah, if you want to keep this episode, this show continuing, let's leave your next interview guest in the comments, and don't forget to like and subscribe, do whatever you want, and give us feedback. And now, Pierre, you can finish the episode. Thanks again for your time, and see you soon.
Thanks, Phil. It was a pleasure for me to be here with you. You know, I met you like 4 years ago, maybe. And, you know, since then we've been like talking and keeping in touch. It's always a pleasure. And yep, I hope to have more interviews with you in the future. It has been really, really good, and I've enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, thank you. And for those viewers, give a like to Phil's channel, to Coronations. And yeah, thanks for watching.